to CL Talk, the leading podcast for the legal profession across Canada, brought to you by Canadian Lawyer Magazine. I'm Tim Wilbur, Managing Editor of Canadian Lawyer Magazine. Today, I'm speaking with Joshua Lennon, the Lawyer in Residence and Data Protection Officer at Clio, a Canadian legal software provider. Lennon often speaks to legal audiences about best practices for web-based technology and cloud computing. Welcome, Joshua.
Thank you. It's great to be here today.
So first off, can you tell me a bit about your role? You're the lawyer in residence, as I said, and data protection officer. So there's two elements to your role at Clio. Tell me a bit about each of those.
Thanks. Yeah, lawyer in residence is a really interesting role. And to be perfectly honest, Clio and I created this role together. I was a Clio customer prior to joining the organization, and I was trying to get a small law firm up and running after graduating from law school and leaving a position that I was doing with the Missouri Attorney General in the United States. And I rapidly realized that I did not know enough about the business of running a law firm and that I needed some type of support. So I turned to software to help me with that. And Clio at the time was a great solution for organizing your cases, your contact information, and really just creating bills and getting those bills out into the hands of clients, which was exactly what I needed at the time. I also needed it to be mobile because my personal circumstances meant that I was spending time both in the United States, which is where I'm licensed, and in Canada visiting a significant other. And so I needed my law firm to be mobile. And Clio, being cloud-based software, really helped with that. And as I began to learn more about the practice of law and practicing via Clio, I began building relationships with a lot of the employees in this early startup. We met at conferences, we got coffee when we were in the same towns, and my questions also led to them asking questions of me, like, hey, how are you using this feature? We're thinking about this as an idea to build in. How would that work? How would we communicate the value of our software to lawyers? And eventually those conversations led to a day-long interview with Jack Newton, the company's founder, and an invitation to move out to Vancouver and help full-time. And I've been doing that for a decade now, over a decade. And I often describe my role as lawyer in residence as translating the needs of lawyers and law firms to a technology company and vice versa, translating how technology has benefits and risks for lawyers and law firms and how to navigate both of those. And so it's been an incredibly interesting time. It's more academic than legal, where I'm really researching what's changing in technology, what's changing in professional services, not just the practice of law, and then trying to bring those together into the very unique space of legal professionals. I've also since then combined my role as data protection officer, and that's because of the rising number of data privacy laws that we see. Starting in 2016 with the launch of the General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, in the EU, companies have needed a kind of a watchdog, an internal person that takes a look at the operations of the business and ensure that the data privacy of employees, the data privacy of their customers, and even the data privacy of information contained in the customer accounts are being thought of and prioritized. And because of my work with legal ethics, especially around the ideas of confidentiality for law firm clients and attorney-client privilege, it was really a complementary role to the lawyer in residence to bring that kind of watchdog status forward. Because again, I've always been representing law firms to Clio and translating their needs. And so I'm able to do both at once because I think very uniquely for Clio, we have somebody in-house who is advocating on behalf of the customers and demonstrating the incredible value that legal professionals bring, not just to their clients, but to our greater society through the rule of law. And it wouldn't be possible for Clio to do the amazing things that they do for lawyers without putting law firms first. So actually one of my proudest accomplishments is that we've been able to kind of build this respect for our customers and continue to put them forward. It's actually one of our foundational values. Customer success comes first.
Great. Well, sounds like a lot. So I'm going to break it down a little bit and get more, a little bit more details on some of the things you spoke about. So I know you've said you work in the intersection of legal ethics, innovation, and access to justice. So before we get into some of the more specific legal questions and Clio, if you could tell me about what that means. Like, I know you speak at a lot of conferences, on podcasts, things like that. So what does your day look like when you're speaking about these topics? Are you publishing papers? How does that look?
Yeah, we're actually publishing all the time. So blog posts, podcast interviews like this, CLE and CPD webinars on legal ethics and technology. I'm actually going to be doing one just tomorrow on virtual law firms and what are the legal ethics around a virtual law firm, as well as some statutory and regulatory concerns. And I think that's where the legal industry is really interesting. As professionals, we have these ethical obligations and stakeholders that just don't exist in any other industry. And so accountants are professionals, but they don't have the professional duty to clients. They aren't an officer of the court. They aren't regulated in the same way that lawyers are. And so lawyers have to balance all of the regulations of running a business and having employees and all of that, but also at the same time, really balance these difficult and weighty concerns of legal ethics. And then when we come to innovation and access to justice on top of that, it is beholden on legal professionals to really drive the idea of rule of law, which includes access to justice. And I think in part that gives us a legal ethical obligation to be innovative. How are we making our services more affordable? How are we making our services more accessible? How are we really seizing the best that is to offer both in technology, business management, communications? All of these things are so rapidly advancing that we need to be investigating them nearly on a daily basis, and lawyers just don't have time. So I'm really excited that I get to have time to research these things and try to bring my learnings to your audience and your listeners as to what some of those best practices and best technologies are.
Great. And let's talk about one area that where there's a lot of best practices, but also a lot of lack of clarity in the law, I guess, in privacy. You mentioned, I think GDPR, Canada has its own regime that's sort of in development.
Yeah.
So really at a high level and maybe specific to Canada, what would you say the biggest trends are in data protection and privacy right now that lawyers, maybe the ones that aren't super sophisticated in this, that you think they should be most cognizant of?
So it's definitely two different areas. Data protection and privacy are actually twin sides of a coin, but they're not the same thing. So when it comes to data protection, we're looking at, are we taking reasonable measures to prevent unauthorized access? And especially for small and mid-sized law firms, there's really no way to compete on a dollar per dollar basis with the amount of money that bigger law firms like the Seven Sisters can just throw at security. And so instead, these firms should be looking at using the economy of scale that come from pooling together all of their spending on services that offer robust cybersecurity, enhanced protections that come from things like having employees that are available 24/7 to deal with their problems, having employees that have passed extensive background checks before they are given even the potential to access data, employees that recognize the ethical duties of lawyers and agree to be a vendor that lives up to those ethical duties. These are all things that are difficult to manage, and we do have a good checklist out of the Law Society of BC on how to turn towards vendors for technology and some of the questions that you should ask. But again, it's ever-changing. What's reasonable? But dollar per dollar, what we see right now is cloud computing is the best, most affordable security for lawyers. And then if we flip that coin to privacy, we see that there's some really interesting changes happening in Canada, in part because of the renegotiated NAFTA treaty. So before we had PIPEDA, which is the federal privacy legislation, and we had provincial legislation, which may be deemed adequate under PIPEDA. So you had FOIPA in BC, you have the Alberta Privacy Act, we have the newly emerged Health Data Protection Act in Ontario, and all of these are asking lawyers and other businesses to take a look at the data that they have and make sure that it has adequate protections as well. What's changed is where can that data be stored? With a renegotiated NAFTA, there are now no longer prohibitions about storing data outside of Canada, which I think is actually somewhat interesting because it's always been a struggle prior to this, but they still have to have adequate protections. And so being able to understand not only what's happening in Canadian privacy law, but also in the U.S. privacy law is going to become important to Canadian lawyers going forward. And again, that's one area where I'm constantly researching and keeping abreast of to make sure that I can answer the questions about these issues transparently to our Canadian customers.
Great. And I know, you know, Clio is born out of Canada, but it has a strong presence outside of the country. So how much of its customer base is Canadian, and is this shifting in over time?
Well, I would say not enough of our customer base is Canadian, but I would say that for any jurisdiction, because there are so many lawyers who have yet to actually just fully realize the benefits of technology, and there's small benefits. I'm not even talking about jumping like feet first into huge expensive software packages, but really just leveraging things like a central place to store your documents that you can access from your mobile phone or from your desktop computer. And in Canada, we see that while Canadians as a whole are very active online, we don't necessarily see the same online activity for law firms. And so there's still a lot of law firms that just haven't embraced the 21st century yet. And I'm looking forward to helping them with that. I will say that Canadian lawyers, once they see the value of this technology, are really quick to adopt it. And I think there are a couple reasons that make that unique. One is the expansive nature of Canada. I think they realize that oftentimes it's just hard to service all the different communities around us because it could be a lot of travel otherwise. And now that we can leverage this technology, we can really start to expand access to legal services into communities that have been kind of suffering without. And so the more Canada is adopting this legal technology, the better we can be in helping all Canadians.
Great. And I know you publish a lot of trends and reports, and a lot of it is based on the usage of your actual customers. So it's really valuable data. What, I don't know if you have specific data on the Canadian legal market or the broader trends that are happening with your customers, but what, give me some highlights of what you've found out through this research most recently.
Absolutely. Since 2016, we've been publishing what we call the Legal Trends Report. It's an annual report that looks at, as you said, usage data of Clio, and that's tens of thousands of law firms in both the U.S. and Canada. And what's unique about it is it's the first time we've ever had data-driven insight into the practice of law for solo, small, and mid-sized law firms. Before, we could maybe survey a handful and hope that was representative, but now we have this aggregated, anonymized data. And I really want to stress, it's usage data, like how are they using the settings in Clio? It's not the client files that are a part of this report. But even with that limited view, we're actually able to see an incredible lift in productivity for lawyers over the last 8 years. We've seen that there's been a 25% increase in the number of matters that a timekeeper is measuring in Clio. There's a 35% increase in the number of hours that are recorded by timekeepers in Clio. And that's led to an increase in both billed and collected amounts of revenue in Clio by over 150% in the last 8 years. So this rising productivity and a better leveraging of billing and collection tools that are available are driving these law firms to be more productive and more sustainable than ever.
Great. And I know or at least you could correct me if I'm wrong, but Clio wouldn't describe itself as an AI company. But you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask your opinion on AI because everyone's talking about it. Maybe you do use AI, so you can tell me if you do. But what's your view on how AI may be changing the game, either with your customer base or more broadly with the profession?
I think artificial intelligence will change the game for the practice of law. And Clio is actively researching and building our own AI-empowered tool to work alongside our practice management solution. And how do I think artificial intelligence will impact the practice of law? I think it will dramatically increase client expectations when it comes to response time. It will dramatically increase a lawyer's ability to get a first draft together using generative AI. I also think artificial intelligence will be used, especially by corporate customers, in an attempt to scale back outside spending. So if you are a lawyer that is serving businesses as clients, you may need to take a look at building your own AI tools and offering those initially in order to prevent the loss of clients. And finally, I think what's interesting about artificial intelligence for many lawyers is not the outputs, but the inputs. When Clio surveyed lawyers, we surveyed about 1,500 lawyers as a part of our last Legal Trends report, looking at artificial intelligence, only 8% of them said that AI will be difficult to learn how to use. And so I think lawyers are looking for this chat-based interface to accessing documents, data, to extracting information from their extensive amount of case files, and then being able to turn that around and leverage it quickly. And so between that expected increase in response time, that expected increase in getting your first draft like together and ready to edit, as well as our own clients' expectations that AI are going to change the game, we're going to see some rapid adoption of these tools, some rapid mistakes, like we just saw in British Columbia about 2 weeks ago, where a lawyer didn't proofread a submission and it had hallucinations in it. But eventually, we're all going to find our feet, and AI is going to be a part of our day-to-day workflow.
Well, that sounds really like an exciting future. So I'm sure we'll talk again with you about these things as they technologies as they emerge. So thank you so much, Joshua, for speaking with me today, and we look forward to hearing more about how Clio evolves with the rapidly changing legal profession.
Thank you so much, Sam. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me.
Thank you for tuning in to CL Talk. You can listen to the latest episodes on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and all major listening channels. Just search for CL Talk.